Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas to you all as well. My name's Matt, if you don't know me. I'm one of the members and the student pastor here. And yeah, it's my privilege this morning to share God's word with you. But today is going to be a little bit different, not only because you have me, but we're going to be looking at a couple of Bible readings. We'll have a video, then I'll come up and give a talk. We're going to do that three times, so it'll be three short things. If you want to know the Bible readings beforehand, we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 2 and two sections of Luke chapter 2. So when Josh comes up, he'll just charge straight into those. But before we do, we should pray. So please pray with me. Father God, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We thank you so much for Christmas. 2,000 years later, Lord, we get to celebrate the birth of your son. Father, I pray tonight as we look at your word, as we look at videos, I pray that it is to your glory. Please build us up, grow us in the knowledge and depth of the inside of who you are. Spur us on to love you and glorify you more and more. I pray that my words are yours and this morning is to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The first Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 2 in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 784. We're starting in verse 9, so it's after Jesus was born and Magi from the east had come in search of him and they were told he'd be born in Bethlehem. So we'll start from verse 9 now. After they had heard the king, they went on their way and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Great light shines best in great darkness. That is a lesson we learned as we traveled many miles in the darkness of night. And I know. Nighttime is the most dangerous time to travel. However, there's a great degree of difficulty in following a star in the daylight. We were looking for royalty, but we had no idea what we were going to find. I've been in the outer courts of princes and kings, noisy assemblages these, hangers-on on every corner, quarters of favor, making endless rackets, scheming, chattering, everyone wanting an audience with nobility. And none of that here. No. Here, silence. Lingering, calm, awestruck silence. Here, a newborn, wrapped in cloths, and lying in a feeding trough. There were two milk goats standing silently behind him. Chickens pecked on the ground. An exhausted woman and a humble man. And outside, shepherds. Shepherds timidly watching, and all are silent. We dare not say a word. We bow down. We worship. And we gently lay our gifts on the ground. I've spent the bulk of my days searching for the truth of it all, trying to make sense of this life. But that search, it was different. That time, while we were searching, we were also being led, not merely by a star, but by the hand of Almighty God. He led us. He led us to the one all truth rests. He led us to a child, a baby, a king.
What is it that you are on a journey to find? What is it that you have been searching for? I am forever searching for my wallet. I don't know about you, but I'm forever losing it. And whenever I say to Elizabeth now, oh, have you seen my wallet? She just rolls her eyes at me and says, have you had a dad look? Something like that. The dads are familiar. But maybe you're in search of something else. Maybe you're always in the search of the best coffee. Little alley down the road, it's very good down there. Maybe you're searching for the best place to live in, or where to have a home, or where to send your kids to school. Maybe on a deeper level, though, we're all searching for truth. We're all searching for meaning. We search for happiness, for joy, for peace. We're searching for something to live for. We want truth. We want meaning in our life. And in the same way that you and I are on a quest for truth, that wise man in the video was on a quest for truth, for the true king, for true nobility, searching for the truth of it all. And they're searching and they're following a star. Now, they're very wise men indeed. They're following a star in the nighttime. I think if that was the qualification, you and I would both pass. But they did not know where this star would end up. They did not know what type of king they would find. And I imagine a child from a small conquered nation, in like a small unimportant town, to parents of really no social status, was not high on their list. Truth can be found in surprising places. Now in the Bible, these three wise men are called the Magi from the East. So not your Magi 2-minute noodles from aisle 12. They are... your astrologers from modern-day Iraq, ancient Babylonia. And they are people that look for signs. They look for signs in the stars, looking for truth, looking for meaning in their life. Now, it's unclear exactly how they knew the star that they saw in that night sky represented the king, but they did, and they set off in search of that king on a long journey, probably taking years, to meet a child, to meet a new king, to meet the true king. And the Magi found that person, found that child named Jesus. Now, probably not on the night that Jesus was born, like that video said, but probably sometime before he was two. But there he is, a boy, a humble, a simple boy, a boy born to no fanfare, no royal reception, no beautiful palace, no fancy, important social status. The truth was found in an unlikely place. A humble king where God himself became a man. The Magi knew they had found what they were looking for. They had found the true king, the king of the Jews, but also the king of all nations. They laid their gifts, they worshipped. The truth, their search for truth was complete. And maybe your search for truth is complete. You come to Christmas and you can celebrate because you found the truth in Jesus. And if that's the case, praise God. You have found him. You've stopped looking for truth where it cannot be found. You've ultimately found meaning in the Lord Jesus. And how good is it that you found him? We can celebrate him at Christmas. He gives us purpose to every aspect of our life. Or maybe you're like the Magi. You're on a journey. Maybe you're looking for stars in the daylight. You're searching for truth, but you cannot find it. Now we know if you want to find a star, you look in the night sky. If you want to find truth and meaning, you look to the person of Jesus. We may be surprised by the truth. Jesus isn't the most likely of kings. It would have been impossible to know that God would send his son into the world, but he did. This is the truth. This is where true meaning is found. Jesus is the light of the world in which all truth rests. And I hope you can know and you can celebrate that this Christmas. But we'll read on, because how this truth relates to us, how it needs to be understood, is found further on.
So the second reading is Luke chapter 2. It's on page 832 of the Pew Bibles. So we'll start from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
When I was a kid, there was this one day I was troubled about something. I don't even remember what it was. My father noticed, and he comes over to me and he places his hands on my head. And he says, "Shalom, son. Do you know what that means?" "Yes," I nodded. I said, "It meant peace." Then my daddy, he knelt beside me. And he took my face in his big, calloused shepherd's hands. He said, "Yes, peace, but more." And then he put a finger on my heart. And he said, "Shalom, God's highest and most complete good be upon you." That is my prayer for you, my son. He left his staff with me, and I've looked for it. What he mentioned, shalom, all these years. When the angels came, there was no hint of wind, no clouds, just stars, so many stars. He showed himself to us suddenly. And there was an angel brighter than stars who spoke and said, "Do not be afraid. I have good news. Your Savior has... Your Savior has been born." And he lies in a manger. And then quiet. As if the whole world is waiting to breathe. A Savior, God's highest and most greatest good for us, for me. And then suddenly, multitudes of angels shattered the silence, saying, "Glory, glory, glory. God is on earth. His peace on earth." My father's prayers, I've seen. Finally, shalom, peace.
Peace. What a beautiful thing. I'm not sure what you think of when you think of peace, depending maybe on where you live, your life, whether you have kids or not, what kind of friends you have, if you've been to war. If financial burden follows you endlessly, peace can mean a whole range of things. But we all want it. The shepherd in that video, he claimed to have found peace. Now, obviously, we know the story here. There's a bit of artistic license that goes on there. But he had this beautiful line when he said, God's highest and most greatest good. Now, when that is upon you, that surely brings peace. But I don't know about you, but what's this baby Jesus got to do with that? A little boy born in Bethlehem got to do with bringing peace? Like, I've got a four-month-old, I've got a two-year-old. Many of you know what kids are like. They don't bring a lot of peace at home. So let's look at the story of Jesus through the eyes of the shepherds to see what this peace is all about. Now, shepherds, in the Bible at least, they're spoken of like fairly highly. Like, most famously, you've got King David out there fending for the sheep with his sling fighting off the bears. That's like Brett Hookham's dream. He's a pretty strange guy, but we love him. But also at the same time, in society back then, 2,000 years ago, shepherds were like they're the nobodies, really. They're out there in the wilderness. They're living amongst the stars with their stinky, with their noisy sheep. They're just your super average Joe blogs. No special treatment in any way, shape, or form. Living in the outskirts, irrelevant to anything important. But it is to these shepherds, the nobodies in the wilderness, who get the most special, the most amazing announcement, like bursting through the darkness at night, like a firework on New Year's Eve, an angel of the Lord appears to them. Like, the poor shepherds are petrified, but the angel has good news for them. He says, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The Savior that all of Israel has been waiting for has come. And it is the shepherds." It's the shepherds who are one of the first to know. But then more than that, God sends his heavenly symphony orchestra to earth, lighting up the sky even more, shattering the silence, declaring to them, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Savior has come. The Son of God has been born. Peace. Peace between God and man has come to earth. This is the most amazing announcement of good news, and it is given to the unlikely. And then the shepherds, they just have this most beautiful, like really simple response. If you read on the passage, it says that having heard that good news, they then went. They went to Jesus. They worshipped him, and then they hurried off to tell the world, to tell everyone they could about the good news that they had seen and heard, praising and glorifying God. Because when the announcement of a Savior comes and brings peace, it results in joy and praise. But what is this peace that Jesus brings? Like, why can the shepherds and us like rejoice so much at his arrival? Because the peace that Jesus brings, it is so many things. Like, it's like rest for your soul. It's a stop to the pursuit of salvation by works. It's knowing that we can find that pure contentment that Paul talks about in Jesus. But most of all, and central to Jesus coming to earth, that he brings peace between God and us, between God and humanity. Because since the time of Adam and Eve, where they rejected God, which we call sin, there was a barrier between us and God. Something separated us. The relationship between the Father and us was tainted. It was broken. And from that point, you'd have to say, we are the unlikely. We are the unlikely to be a candidate of peace. But by God sending his Son, he is going to create a way. He is creating a way of restoring that relationship, of bringing peace. God has come to his people. The barrier that prevented us from relationship with God and a life that is free, a life that is full, is going to be, and we know has been, won by Jesus. Now, it is true that Jesus is a Savior for everyone. But the angel also said, it is only for those in whom God's favor rests. Now, that's a pretty confronting kind of statement, right? Like, you might, it's a bit scary, you might be sitting there asking, well, does God's favor rest on me? That's a pretty fair question. But don't fear, Christian. We can be confident that if you have called on and you have faith in Jesus, God's favor rests on you. You can have great confidence like the shepherds that your Savior has come. You have peace with God. God's highest and most complete good is upon you. Praise God. Now, when we are looking for actions to do, we often love examples to follow. So when you're learning to cook, you follow whoever it is in your house, maybe watch MasterChef, whatever you do. If you're learning how to do a good free kick, you go down to Peaky Park when I'm practicing, and no, you don't do that at all. You watch Messi, you watch Ronaldo, you watch someone who knows what they're doing. And what is beautiful about this passage is that the shepherds just give us such a beautiful, simple example of what it looks like when you hear the good news of Jesus. Because when you hear the good news of Jesus, you go. You go and you see what it's all about. You come to church like you have. You read the Bible. You chat to someone who knows. And then they believe. And we're called to believe. And then we go. And we tell others of the amazing good news that we have heard and that we have experienced in joyful praise to God. Because the Savior has come. He has brought peace. The Son of God has come. There is no need to search. Contentment is and joy is found in the peace that Jesus brings. And we can celebrate and we can praise.
So the final Bible reading is on the same page, on page 832, and we'll start from the beginning of Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
It's okay. You can come in. He won't bite. He's just a small baby. A little shy? Well, that's okay. I am too. Your friends left in such a rush to go tell the world. I think that's how they put it. And what a thing to tell. Did you know an angel visited me too? It's true. And he said that my boy would be great, the Son of God. He said that he would be the King of angels, the King of all. Do you think that they'll understand? Do you think that they'll come to worship him? Will they accept him? Just look around us. It's not exactly a palace, is it? Noisy animals. Hay out of all things for a bed. And that stench. For everything that he is. Maybe this isn't enough. I find myself just watching him. Adoring him. I thought I knew what love was. Until he came along. My mother gave this blanket to me when I was just a little girl. A gift of love. I wore it out. When we were preparing for the trip to Bethlehem, I told Joseph I wanted to bring it. No, he said. We must pack light. I brought it anyway. The baby needs a blanket. Yes, they will come. The faithful. How could they not? He was born the King of Angels. He will be great and mighty. He is all this and more. But when you go tell my young friend, be sure to tell them that he is an incredible gift of love.
An incredible gift of love. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? And often when babies are born, like we've had kids or not, you know that they are a gift. You often hear parents saying something along the lines of, they're a blessing, they're a gift. Maybe they have nothing to say, they're so sleep deprived. But we understand this, don't we? That when a baby is born, they're a gift. I remember when my firstborn was born, Aaliyah, and I was holding her in my arms for the first time. Elizabeth was in the shower, unknown to me, she was fainting. It's tough work, but the midwives were looking after her, which was good. But I remember like feeling that kind of overwhelming sense of fear, but also that overwhelming sense of love. And you kind of got a glimpse of that in the video with Mary. That got like, oh, wow, this child is an amazing gift. Except Mary knew that her child was different. She'd had visits from angels. John the Baptist was jumping in the womb before he was born. Shepherds are coming, telling her about incredible angel visits. Magi are coming and bearing gifts. Priests and prophets in the temple are praising. This kid is different. He's an incredible gift of love for sure. But he's not just one for Mary, Joseph, and her family. He is a gift for everyone. Like Aaliyah, for sure, she's a gift to me, my family, my friends. Even if she goes on to do amazing things for thousands and thousands of people, she does not compare to the incredible gift that Jesus is to all families of all time. And it kind of makes you ask the question, well, what is it about Jesus' birth that makes it so incredible? Like one of the reasons it's so incredible is just because of how average it is. Like really, it's far below average. Like this is the King, the Son of God, born to humble parents in a very humble place. And like that's a bit generous, right? My wife's a midwife. She wants to ensure a sterile birth. Like a dark stable with hay, with dirt, with animal poo. That's the opposite of that. Then you've got the innkeeper or the person who had the guest house. Can't even spare him a bed. He's left to be born amongst animals. He is born to no fanfare, no comfortable crib, no clean, comfortable house, no medical care if required. You think a king is going to get the best treatment? No, not this one. He is incredibly humble from birth. And what is also incredible about who this man is that he is born to a virgin. He is conceived of the Holy Spirit, so he is the Son of God. If you've been coming to church, you've been listening to this sermon, you know he's called the Son of God. But that is absolutely incredible. The creator of the universe sent his Son into the world as a human, like you and me, in the form of one of his creations, as fully human as you and I without the sinful bits. Like I was looking at my daughter Isabel this week. It was a nice moment actually, but she was sitting on the bouncing thing. But she's sitting there, she's helpless. She can't walk, she can't talk, she's pooping in her nappies all the time, she can only drink milk just to vomit it back up again. And then she has us for parents who are just completely making it up. That was Jesus, the Son of God. He came In complete humility, the one who spoke everything into being spent his first moments as a human in a feeding trough. Like, that is humility if you've ever seen it. The Son of God coming to earth for you and for me is the most incredible gift. Now, we're in a bit of a gift mood, aren't we? Christmas is upon us, and let's be real, we love gifts. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, gifts are awesome. And we love to give gifts, but the way that we give gifts is not really based on merit. Like my daughter this year, she's going to get a scooter. Either my brother-in-law is going to get a gift. But they just get a gift for being them. And that's the nature of a present. It's a gift. And we all know Jesus coming to earth is the ultimate gift. He is the reason that we give gifts at Christmas. But even before the ultimate act of grace where Jesus hung on that cross for you and I, he is sent. The Son of God is sent as a gift, as a human, on the first Christmas. He is a gift and we don't deserve it. We did not deserve it. We didn't do anything good in order for God to send him. In fact, when we were the enemies of God, Jesus was sent to earth. The gift of Jesus is 100% undeserved. We have a remarkable God for sending him. In the video, Mary said, "I thought I knew what love was until he came along." Even though she knew he was different, she couldn't have understood or anticipated how Jesus would be an incredible gift for all people. Because the Savior, he had come, but he hadn't done any of the saving yet. But this baby no longer stayed a baby. Jesus grew to be a man. A man who would display the most incredible acts of love. He could make the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. He freed the oppressed. He was the ultimate advocate for social justice. He would bring dead people back to life. He would be humble in absolutely everything that he did. He is the person who made the greatest news of all time. A Savior has been born, a reality. And then finally, and most powerfully, Jesus, having demonstrated his saving power in people's physical lives, he then went to save people for the ultimate spiritual need, sin. The King. He went from full humility in an animal's feeding trough to full humility hanging on that cross, hanging there at the hands of people he created to save them, to save you, to save me. And then he rose again in victory. Like, that is an incredible gift of love. Like, we're going to give Christmas gifts. Maybe you've given them yet. Maybe we'll give them in a few days. And they might be amazing. If you're lucky, they might be amazing for 50 years. But even those Christmas gifts, they do not compare. They do not compare to the incredible gift of love that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is who we celebrate at Christmas. And we can be like the wise men who find meaning and truth in Jesus. We can be like the shepherds who rejoice because they have found ultimate peace in Jesus. And we can rejoice with Mary that Jesus, an incredible gift of love, has come for you and for me. A gift from God to us. So I pray that you will find peace, that you find truth, and you'll find love in the incredible gift of Jesus this Christmas. Let me pray. Father God, we are so thankful for the gift of Jesus. We thank you so much that he is the truth, that he is our Savior who brings peace, that he is the most incredible gift of love. Father, we are so thankful. Father, please help us to continue to live in light of this, to continue to give you praise and glory all the days of our life. We look forward to his return. All the glory to your name. In Jesus Christ, amen.